to invite you to join me now, if you would, in your Bible to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 6. And have you noticed over the years how our pace of life has changed drastically? Think about drastically, radically changed. When I was growing up, I remember when we would go on vacation with Mama and Papa in their vehicle, as we were traveling long distances, we were always looking for this one sign, anticipating this one sign on the highway, and we kept looking for it, and this one sign had two words on it. And finally, that sign would appear, and the sign was rest area. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Rest area. And we would exit off of the highway into that rest area, and that's where you would go to the restroom. That's where your parents or grandparents would say, no, you just go run as much as you can. And then we would meet over in a covered picnic area where there would be a concrete picnic table, and it would be covered, and Mama would bring the ice chest out, and then she would start making sandwiches. Pimento cheese, if you were in rebellion, and then, you know, turkey sandwiches and just chips and cookies, and we'd have a picnic, and we were not in a hurry. We were not in a rush to get anywhere. We knew we would get where we were going, but we were experiencing rest at the rest area. Well, now that rest area has been replaced by Buc-ee's. And you'll see the sign, you're looking for the sign, it'll say Buc-ee's, 120 miles. And then later, Buc-ee's 80 miles and Buc-ee's 60 miles. And then you'll see a sign says, what are you doing? You can hold it, 40 miles. And all this anticipation builds, and finally you see the big beaver sign, and you're like, yes, we're almost there, and you turn in, and there's like 100 gas pumps and people everywhere. It's like the Disney World of gas stations, and you go in, it's the cleanest restrooms in the state of Texas. I mean, it's such an experience. Employees everywhere just serving, and all the soda drinks you could ever dream of, and all the different foods and sweets and treats. And when you go, you've got to get beaver nuggets and the zebra-striped corn, popcorn, little V thing. You get one of those, you get a cinnamon roll heated up 12 seconds, and you get two chocolate chip cookies, and you get a Diet Coke that big to counter all the calories for 79 cents. And you have this a major experience, and it's over an hour, and people are just racing in and out and gassing up their vehicles, and it's like a major ordeal. And you come out stressed. And that's why you need all those treats and sweets to help you calm down after the Buc-ee's experience. Oh, how our pace has changed in life. And we have more technology at our fingertips that was supposed to make life more efficient, give us more free time, more downtime, more vacation, more family experiences, more moments together. But it seems like that our pace has been accelerated drastically. And the reality is we are structured for the results we're getting. There's a reason we feel busy, hurried, stressed, exhausted, and emotionally depleted, as reflected in our unsustainable pace. We are structured for the results we are getting. And the question I want to wrestle with in our text this morning is, what are you willing to do? What am I willing to do for the rest of your life? Because there is a rest that Jesus provides. There is a rest that we're going to see in our passage here that will catapult us out of this unsustainable pace that is not healthy. It is not going to produce wonderful benefits. There is a rest that Jesus talks about, but you can only experience it if you're willing. And we can't keep living the way we're living and experience the rest Jesus is giving. You know the definition of insanity? keep doing the same things you've always done, expect different results. So this message is very convicting, and that's why I wear steel-toed shoes when I preach, because I always preach to me first as I bring God's word to you. And God's been getting a hold of my heart this week on a very deep level in this passage. What I want to do is use the word rest, and I want us to use that as an acrostic to give you the action statements for us to plug in Monday morning. The R stands for this: respond. Respond to Jesus' invitation. He's offering us this amazing invitation, and it's amazing, but it's not going to benefit or add value unless we're willing to respond to it. And we pick up in chapter 6 of the Gospel of Mark, verse 30, and I want you to notice what happens here. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. They were very busy. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place. And here's our phrase, and rest a while. Would you say that with me? And rest a while. Now that's a biblical statement. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Now you know when Baptists don't have time to eat, they're too busy. They're too busy. Respond to Jesus' invitation. What generated their need for rest? What was going on in their culture? What was going on in their ministry that would generate Jesus intervening, Jesus intersecting, and saying to them, what you're doing is a good thing, what you're doing is a God thing, but it's time to come away. Now let's go to a desolate place where you can rest. We see in Mark chapter 6 in the overall context where Jesus sent out the 12. With this gospel message to repent, to turn from sin, turn to God, to enter the kingdom of God, this aggressive message of salvation. It's also here where Jesus receives the difficult news that his cousin, the very one who baptized him, John the Baptist, had been beheaded. So they had this ministry exhaustion going on. They now have this grief that they're trying to navigate. And yet Jesus and his disciples get in a boat to go to a desolate place. And they're longing for rest. And they experience this rest we're talking about. And then when they get to the other side, Jesus teaches the multitudes and then he feeds the 5,000. So he's going to do ministry in the midst of his busy day. Notice, Jesus glorified God resting in the boat just as much as he glorified God by feeding the 5,000. There's something about resting that brings glory to God. Now, if you sleep during the message, it does not bring glory to God. We're talking about after the message. I love what Vance Havner said. If you don't learn to come apart, you will come apart. A few years ago, I was going through a very intense season in my dual role of executive pastor and lead pastor at North Climb. Just kind of overextending myself, overcommitted. And as Dr. Joseph Pilato, the psychiatrist who came to see me in Baton Rouge after Hurricane Katrina to let me know he's relocating his office, said to me, being an adult of an alcoholic father, you will tend to over-assume responsibility. And that's been my lifelong battle, over-assuming responsibility. So I was led to a book that Wayne Cordero wrote called Leading on Empty. Leading on Empty. And what is so interesting is Wayne Cordero is a pastor of New Hope Church in Hawaii. And I was trying to reconcile, how can you pastor a church in Hawaii and yet you're writing on leading on empty? And it's because he had overcommitted himself and overextended himself and was over-assuming responsibility. It sounds like the human condition. So I read that book from cover to cover, bought it for several of our staff members who I thought were living in the same lane I was living in, and they read it. And one quote I want to share with you of many that has so touched my life from that book is this from Wayne Cordero. Rest has to be a primary responsibility. It brings a rhythm back to life and a cadence that makes life sustainable. Sometimes the most spiritual activity you can engage in is rest. I was reading an article this week by John Piper related to this concept of rest and why we need sleep. And here's what he says. Sleep is a parable that God is God and we are mere man. God handles the world quite nicely while a hemisphere sleeps. Sleep is like a broken record that comes around with the same message every day. Man is not sovereign. Man is not sovereign. Man is not sovereign. Don't let the lesson be lost on you. God wants to be trusted as the great worker who never tires and never sleeps. He is not nearly so impressed with our late nights and early mornings as he is with a peaceful trust that casts all anxieties on him and sleeps. That's the R. Respond to Jesus' invitation. But let's look at the E in rest. Embrace. Embrace the place that recalibrates your pace. Now I want you to think about your place, that place you go to, that rhythm you embrace, that recalibrates your pace. When you feel like you can go no further, when you feel like you are totally depleted and overextended and you can't take another moment, where is your place to recalibrate your pace? Depending on how God's wired you, your place will be unique to you. What will refuel one person will stress out another person. What will stress out this person will refuel another person. It depends on how God has wired you. We pick up now in verse 32. And when they went away in the boat, I love that, to a desolate place by themselves. Jesus was very specific about getting away and very specific about the vehicle to experience rest. And their chosen vehicle was a sailboat. No motor, just a sailboat. Experiencing the tranquility and the peace of being on the water. Away from the tugs of ministry, away from the demands of ministry, away from the crowds, and just Jesus and his disciples experiencing rest. That was their place to recalibrate their pace. I'm so proud of our students, so proud of our children in this room. We are committed to multi-generational worship. And I don't know if you have a third, fourth, or fifth grader near you or in your section, but you'll notice they're taking notes because they're all in. And I love that. And they have a special notebook to take notes. So I want to say to those who are taking notes, children, students, and adults alike, what I want to do is I want to kind of drill down here for just a moment and give you some tracks to run on, or maybe some tracks to slow down on, that will help embrace the place that recalibrates your pace. Here's the first track. Create margin. Create margin. Now you say, but Pastor Stephen, what is margin? Well, it's a substitute for butter. But that's not the margin I'm talking about. I'm talking about the space between your load and your limit. The space between your load and your limit, and when you're load exceeds your limit, that's called burnout. That's called being overextended, overcommitted. It means being depleted because you have withdrawn more than you've deposited in, and now you're upside down. Margin is the space between my load and my limit. And one way to generate margin is by establishing healthy boundaries. And that's a challenge. Because we want to do everything, and we want to be at everything, and we want to be a part of everything, and we feel like we can solve everything. And if you're type A, you're going to be driven to do so much more than you should do because you think you can do it. And you're willing to neglect other areas of your life. You're willing to go to bed later. You're willing to wake up earlier to fit it in. And what God's word is teaching us, what Jesus is modeling, is the power and the value of creating margin by establishing healthy boundaries. You've heard me be very vulnerable before you and make this statement. Often, Everything gets a little bit of me. Nothing gets the best of me. Can you relate to that? Learn to say no in order to say yes to God's best. And I don't like to say no, because I feel like I can do that. I can pull that off. I can work that in. And what's really tough is when you commit to something that's several months out or a year out, oh, I can do that. And you commit, oh, I'll go speak there. I'll do that. I'll be at that event. Yes, we'll do that. And it's several weeks or several months out, and it's at a distance, and it looks like it's so far away, and you start filling up your calendar, and then that week gets here, and you open up your calendar and go, whoa, we have something every night of the week. We've overcommitted. We've overscheduled our lives. And then you get stressed out. And it's hard to ramp down because you're so amped up. And that's a problem. Learn to say no so that you can say yes to God's best. So create margin. Here's another phrase. Protect your priorities. Protect your priorities. That is your responsibility. That's my responsibility to protect my priorities. And let me give you some action steps related to that. If you're taking notes, align with God's design. Align with God's design. God has a design for your life. There are priorities that God wants you to embrace and to protect. How do you do that? By aligning by God's design. Align with God's design. Now, this is what I think of when I think of rest, just so you know how I think. I'm going to put it up on the screen for you. I like to take complex issues and items and concepts in the Bible and bring them to just simplicity and clarity, and then I take a picture of it. And that's just how I'm very visual. So when I think of rest, I think of this concept here, using rest. I think of routine and rhythm for the R, routine and rhythm. That routine is very important. Many of you woke up this morning and hopefully you brushed your teeth and you didn't have to pray about it as part of your routine. Thought, maybe I should bathe. Maybe I should put on some deodorant. That's just routine. And whenever you establish healthy routines, it adds value to your life personally. It blesses your family. It helps in your walk with God because it's a healthy routine. And then rhythm is your rhythm. God's given you a biological rhythm. And some of you are morning people. I'm a morning person. I thrive in the mornings. And so I kind of have to build my rhythm around my biological rhythm, which is I know I'm going to thrive in the morning. My downtime's around 2 to 4 p.m. I hit a little dip down, and then I'm back up. And then around 9, 10 at night, my plane starts landing. 11 o'clock, the wheels are down, the flaps are out, and I come in for a landing. Now, sometimes we go to sleep much later than that, but it doesn't matter what time I go to bed. It can be 11, 11:30, midnight, 1. I'm still up early because that's my biological rhythm. I know that about me, so I have to program life around that rhythm. And when I think of the E, it's eating and exercising. And food is fuel. You are what you eat, right? We're at this event not too long ago, and someone kind of across the room, and I didn't fully know them, wasn't really sure who that was, but I heard them say, well, wait a minute, isn't that the Bluebell pastor? You are what you eat, right? Eating and exercising. What I've discovered in my journey is when my exercise goes up, my stress goes down. When my exercise goes down, my stress goes up. And it also affects my rest at night. I think of the S being sleeping and Sabbath, sleeping and Sabbath. In sleeping, when we moved here 11 and a half years ago, we moved in to Victor and Lizette Moran's home. They were in San Antonio taking care of their son, Daniel Patrick, a Marine whose Humvee rode over an IED and exploded and burned half of Daniel Patrick's body, and they harvested the other half to save him. And Victor and Lizette, we were just getting to know them. They opened their home up to us, and they mandated that we sleep in their master bedroom when we moved here. And that was our introduction to the best night's rest we've ever experienced, called a Tempur-Pedic. You see, in our journey, we knew mattresses that do what's called the cave, where when you get in the bed, you just roll down to the middle because it's just like a V. We've had that, and we'd had to put a pillow between us so we wouldn't collide, and you know, you just that. We've been in mattresses, on mattresses where we called it Pike's Peak, where this side was a dip and this side was a dip. And if you wanted a night-night kiss, you had to meet in the middle of the top of the peak. We've had that experience. But when we were introduced to a Tempur-Pedic, and once we bought our home, we made a decision, hey, let's not buy a car. Let's buy a Tempur-Pedic. If we got our first ever Tempur-Pedic mattress, and it's heavenly. It's wonderful. And we just paid it off a couple months ago. just figured. Because you spend a third of your life sleeping. 20 years of your life sleeping. And then Sabbath, a biblical standard set by God, that a day of the week we shut down, a day of the week we disconnect, a day of the week we let God put us back together. That's the rhythm that God has established for our health and well-being and sustainability. Sabbath. It's a day to remember that there is a God and it's not us. That God can handle the universe without our contribution. That God's got this. That we have a day of stepping away and disconnecting and letting God pour into us and helping us to recalibrate who we are in Jesus Christ, and that our dependency is upon Him, and He's the source of our strength and the reason we live. And so a day to let God put us back together. And then an annual Sabbath, which is called vacation. And it's not the vacation where you go on vacation, then when you get back, you need a vacation to get over the vacation. But when you get away to let God help you decompress and refuel and be refreshed and be replenished and be renewed. And then the T is technology and trust. That technology can dominate your life, and sometimes the most spiritual moments in our lives is when we make a commitment to take a technology fast. And say, I'm going to disconnect from technology for this time period. It may be from this time to this time in a given day. It may be for a couple of days. It may be for a week. And listen, when you go on a technology fast, you have to really check your pulse because your heart may stop beating. We're so connected to technology. We're so addicted to technology. And when you go to restaurants, you just watch people. They can't stand not having technology. You'll see a family of four in a booth at a restaurant. Buried in their cell phones. What if we had a no cell phone zone? Wouldn't that be neat? Try technology fast. It'll set you free. And the world will keep going. And listen, don't tell anybody this, but the earth will continue to rotate on its axis. Technology. And trust. Trusting God to take care of the details of your life. Trusting God that as you disconnect from the pace of life and the technology that you're so addicted to, that we get so addicted to, that you step away from that and realize that you can be still and know that He is God, and He is. So align with God's design. Pace yourself. If you're taking notes, pace yourself. Remember, life is a marathon, not a sprint, but yet we start sprinting in the marathon. And the sprint becomes our norm. And that's not a sustainable pace. Another quote from Wayne Cordero, your soul is like a battery that discharges each time you give life away, and it needs to be recharged regularly. He goes deeper in his book talking about serotonin can be depleted when you don't live with a cadence that allows it to be replenished. Now, this is what really got a hold of me. Serotonin replenishes during times of rest and then refuels you when you're working. When you drive yourself without replenishing, your store of serotonin will be depleted. As a substitute, your body will be forced to replace the serotonin with adrenaline. And see, I grew up racing motocross and jet skis and BMX, and I was an adrenaline junkie. I'm still somewhat an adrenaline junkie, and that's why I don't believe in speeding, but getting to the speed limit quickly, because there's something about the blood in your brain rushing to the back of your head, and it creates this dopamine rush. I mean, don't do it, but I'm just telling you, it works. This week, put a high-performance muffler on Austin's truck. It came in Monday night. We had this event Monday night. Got home late. Saw that it had come home the next morning early. I was like, I think I can go down to Rice and put his muffler on. I'm going to do it. And Tony's like, you going to do it? I said, I'm going to do it. So I did it. I went to the Rice Stadium. Austin was in class. I had an extra set of keys. I had some ramps, backed his truck up on the ramps in the Rice Stadium parking lot, dropped both dual pipes onto the ground, got all my tools out, dropped that muffler out, put in a high-performance muffler, put it all back together, and headed back to the house and was back to the office. Now, why'd I do that? Because I love my son. And it was an adrenaline rush. Because it's like, there's no way you can do this. When I put one on my truck, Tori helped me do it. And she wasn't available. So as a substitute, your body will be forced to replace the serotonin with adrenaline. Listen, adrenaline is designed for emergency use only. And I was living on adrenaline. I read a book recently, Adrenaline and Stress. It's all about when you choose to live on adrenaline, the stress hormones that are pumped into your bloodstream. It's pretty strong. Everybody okay? I know this is heavy. This is so personal. I know we're plowing close to the corn, but that's who we are as a church. We believe in getting real. Well, let's talk about the S in rest. We've talked about respond to Jesus' invitation. The E, embrace the place that recalibrates your pace, and you've got to find that place in your life. I had a couple stop me after the morning service on their way to life group. They said, after life group, we've decided we're going to Galveston because that's our place to recalibrate. Isn't that cool? We know it's going to rain, but we're going. Here's the S. Serve others from the reservoir of rest. Serve others from the reservoir of rest. Now look with me in verse 33. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So here's Jesus and the disciples on the boat resting, and the crowds are going around the other side to Bethsaida so that when Jesus and the disciples landed, they would be there because they wanted some miracle-working power to come their way. Look at verse 34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them. He didn't see them as an interruption. He saw them as an opportunity because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Here's a principle. Rest expands your capacity for ministry. Rest expands your capacity for ministry. And then the T, treasure the rest that Jesus alone provides. Treasure the rest that Jesus alone provides. I read the English Standard Version. I preach from the English Standard Version. That's ESV. On my reading plan, I'm reading through the Bible. On my app, my Bible app, my YouVersion app, I use the ESV for my Bible reading through the Bible in 1 year. But the Message translation is really a paraphrase. And I want to read Matthew 11, 28 through 30 from Eugene Peterson's The Message. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. And here's my favorite phrase. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Isn't that powerful? I've been journaling in my quiet time using Evernote for many years. Before that, I would just write on legal pads, and I have stacks of legal pads that highlight my journey with God. And one day I'm going to share those with Tori and Austin as a gift. But in Evernote, I'll do my prayer journal where I just type after I have my quiet time, just put reflections on there. I'll start with yesterday and what happened yesterday and just some highlights and then what God has shown me in His Word through reading. So I went on Evernote this week and I just typed in the word rest because it catalogs everything you put in there. And I've got thousands of documents in there. And I just typed rest. And it showed me all these journal entries that I had typed in over the years using the word rest. And there were so many. It's like a major theme in my daily quiet time for years. And so I wanted to pull an excerpt and bring you into my private world for just a moment. This comes from my quiet time journal, July 14, 2014, 6:02 or 6:20 a.m. home. I always write where I am and what time it is and the date when I'm reading any book, any chapter, or if I'm journaling. I always put date and time of where I am. So if you go into my library and pull a book off the shelf, chapter 17, you'll know exactly where I was when I read that chapter. And it just helps me to remember because I like to attach things to places and people. And then it helps me remember where I read that paragraph and that sentence where I was. And so I'm the same way in my quiet time. Here it is. Each day, God gives me a certain amount of energy to allocate to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission. 24 hours each day is more than sufficient to accomplish God's will, God's way. Am I allocating my energy in alignment with God's plan? Am I maximizing the opportunities God has given me? And that's me just dialoguing with God in my journal, wrestling with these items. Then my prayer that I typed out, Lord, You have provided me with the invitation to come to You. That's after I read Matthew 11, 28 through 30. You have given me the capacity to respond to Your gracious invitation for salvation and for restoration. I do feel weary and heavy laden and long for Your rest. This morning, I choose to take Your yoke upon me and I choose to learn from You. I know that You are gentle and lowly in heart and that in You, I will find rest for my soul. Lord, You have consistently demonstrated that Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light. Abba, Father, I come to You. I lay down my life and my agenda and my ambitions. Lord, instead of me working for You, I want to allow You to work in me and through me to accomplish Your kingdom agenda. Coming a little bit closer. Forgive me, Lord, for being preoccupied with so many things that have no eternal value. Forgive me for giving my time and energy to things that do not last. I repent of my worldliness and my self-worship and preoccupations with things that do not produce populating the kingdom of heaven. So what's in your journal? Where are you this morning? What are you wrestling with? What's wrestling you away from God? What's keeping you so busy, so preoccupied, so disconnected that you have forgotten how to rest in the rest Jesus provides?
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.